In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
This is the I Spy Radio Show.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny.
Keeping an eye on big government.
We the people tell the government what to do. It doesn't tell us.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
And now, here is your host, Mark Anderson.
And welcome to the iSpy Radio Show. We have a very full show today, especially in light of recent events. Before our 4th of July show, we had decided to have Kamal Saleem back on to discuss the Orlando shooting. But as we discussed topics with him in our pre-show interview, we realized there was so much to talk about that we've decided to make this a two-part show. This week, we'll be talking about current and recent events like the Orlando shooting and also what happened in Dallas, as well as broader topics of cultural jihad. And then next week, we'll be discussing how moderate Muslims are being radicalized and what community leaders and individuals can do to combat this. Now, the goal of both of these shows is not to depress you or frighten you, but to wake you up to the dangers and to connect the pieces of what we're up against. The way to extinguish fear is through the power of knowledge. But that is hard to do when your enemy thrives on deception. Without further ado, I'd like to welcome Kamal Saleem. He is president of Qoome Ministries. That's K-O-O-M-E. He is a former cultural jihadist with the PLO and Muslim Brotherhood. He had come to America to destroy it from within, but after an accident changed his life, he converted to Christianity and now works to bring Muslims to the freedom and liberty of Jesus Christ. Kamal, it is great to talk to you again.
It's good to be with you. Thank you for having me, and God bless you for what you do.
Yeah, so we've had some interesting events just even in the last 24 hours with the Dallas shooting. But I'd like to really kind of start with a broad discussion about Islam here in the U.S., and especially for those that haven't heard our previous shows. Could you describe what a cultural jihadist is and what your job was when you came here?
Yes, a cultural jihadist is the person who is using a machine gun or using an airplane or trying to terrorize through a methodology of war. So basically, we move in political Islam. You know, when I was with them, it was all of it. It's sort of dictated to us in political Islam, because Islam is only 14% religion, and the rest of it is a full government, military strategies, and what's a heavy civic, judicial, and all politically endowed with that understanding.
So, and I think that's one of the more interesting points that I remember from our previous discussions, is that Islam is always described as a religion, but it's far more than that.
Correct. Only, like I said, it's the only the head of the needle is the religion. And many times they enter into, they bring their status through a religion to be, you know, to coexist, to be co-equal. Pluralism, universalism, to be, you know, part of every civilization. But this is dictates exactly what Islam wanted to do, you know, and specifically with the Islamic agenda today, which is the cultural jihadist, is to bring about a methodology which is to bring about the Sharia law, to bring about Islamization presence into a culture, to change our school system, education system, to change our government strategies, to change our culture from within, to change our family structure and whatsoever, that by the time in 10 years to 15 years, a culture will start adapting, you know, into Islamic understanding, and another 15, 20 years, now they will be sitting in the government themselves to change and to create a shift.
Yeah, and we see that now with the Muslim Brotherhood having access right within the White House. One of the things also that I found very interesting in our previous discussions was the fact that you were commissioned to come here, and it was by somebody in the Saudi government, or the Saudi family, was it not?
Yes, and the way it works, it is we have today, we have about 71,000 students that they come from Middle East to United States of America. The majority of them are, they have scholarship from Saudi, from Kuwait, from UAE, from Bahrain, from, you know, all those oil country. And this is the entrance to United States of America through a student visa. And many of those students, they are, some of them are commissioned to come to the United States to create things to happen for future references. For example, the Muslim Student Association in the United States of America, or the Muslim Student Union. These are the same organization, but have two different names, and they're front end for the radical terrorist organization, the Muslim Brotherhood. Mm-hmm. And their strategy is to recruit on college campuses and to defy the American culture on college campuses and establish Islamization, Islamic center within our culture, so that the universities are no longer American culture, but they'll be biculture.
Mm. Well, you mentioned the Islamic student unions. When you came here as a cultural jihadist, and I was back in the 80s, were you being supported by entities here in the U.S., like, whether it was mosques or other types of Islamic groups?
Well, when we came to the United States of America, we were, you know, at that time, we didn't want to know anybody about who we are, because our form of jihad, it is not a terrorist work, because we didn't think that we're terrorists. We thought that we are liberating this nation and bringing about, you know, the true living God, the true religion of the world, which is, so basically the majority of the funds were coming from overseas. And when the funds that came, they came through, like 7-Eleven stations or mechanic shops, which is they have banks behind the scenes called Hawara. And they came with different students as they came with travel checks and different ways, you know, to infiltrate and equip us, you know, little by little. But ultimately, the money came from Saudi at that time for the group that I was with.
Hmm. And as you look at kind of the state of where we are today here in America, and as we continue to be infiltrated by these cultural jihadists, and even the more radical elements that what most people think of as terrorists, do you see anything stopping these cultural jihadists right now?
No, because we have here a government, unfortunately, they are supporting these kind of elements. And these elements today, you know, we really need to demand to stop the Islamists in America, because they're being enabled there by many leaders, you know, in the Congress, and also by our current President Obama. He allowed these organizations from the Muslim Brotherhood to Jama'at al-Furqa, which is, we have about 37 terrorist camps in the United States of America legally, and we have also an Islamic organization called Aneda, which is by Gulen from Turkey, with $30 billion opening schools in the United States of America. And today they have over 70,000 students, and hundreds of thousands of other students are joining, because it's free school, to change the culture instead of hitting the culture with the airplane and destroyed our very way of life. They're going after our young men and boys and girls, and they are teaching them Islamization at young age to change and shift the culture. So we are under really attack, and our current government allowing this to accelerate the new level.
Okay, we are up against the clock here. Everyone stay with us. We're going to have lots more with Kamal after this. Welcome back to the iSpy Radio Show. We're talking about the growing threat of Islamic terrorism here in the U.S., both as what you would normally think of terrorism with bombs and shootings, but also with cultural jihadists. And to do that, we're talking to a former cultural jihadist, Kamal Saleem. He is also now the president of Qoom Ministries, and that is Koome Ministries. Their website is koomministries.com, and we'll link that up on iSpyRadio.com. And during the break there, we're talking about this shocking notion that Turkey has paid $30 billion, I think you said, to set up these schools, but also they're taxpayer funded.
That's exactly right. You see, when you look at how much the taxpayer are paying into this charter school, for example, last year it was 150 million dollars. That's how much people are paying into it. But not just that, but they're paying for also our future to shift and cause a culture shock and a culture divide.
Wow. The other thing that we were talking about, too, was some of these camps that have been set up. And this has been known for a while now. The FBI is certainly aware of these things. I don't see them shutting any of them down. But you were also talking to the break there about what these camps do. Why don't you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yes. So when we look at these camps, let's talk about the imam himself. He's a radical imam. He's from Pakistan. His name is Ali Ghalayini. Ali Ghalayini is the head of the Islamic terrorist group Al-Furqa, and this group has been investigated by the FBI since 2011. Their specialty is to recruit from the jail system and with the emphasis on a black culture to create a clash of culture. And their specialty is to take a black inmate, convert them to Islam, and then after they leave the jail, they graduate from jail, they take them to those camps, and they train them in those camps. And what happened to the training that take place in those camps, they have over 3,000 members that we know about in the United States of America. They train on assault rifle, AK-47, assault rifle that the American soldier used, just like what we saw last night, what happened in Dallas, Texas, on rocket launchers, RBGs, mortars, machine guns, C4 explosive. They teach on how to kidnap and kill American and do sabotage missions. These are what they're teaching on, because these people are, they're trying to create an army inside that in due time they can terrorize the United States from within, as these are American citizens. And what happened last night, that could be a reflection of it.
Well, I certainly want to talk some more about Dallas and also the Orlando shootings. But in terms of these camps, if these are known training camps that are happening right here on U.S. soil, and there's another one, too, that we talked about with a border agent a few months ago, just across the Rio Grande in the state of Chihuahua down in Mexico, a major one down there as well. How did they get away with this? Why are these things not being shut down?
Well, we have a lenient government, number one, and our current administration, instead of coming and speak against those matters, they are supporting those matters. They're criticizing the American people and apologizing for the whole world about what America has done, from Hiroshima to Iran to everyone else. And today we are at the place, it's almost like a setup that they're causing these issues to become a greater subject matter in the future. So even as this administration stepped down, or Hillary to be elected, they can carry on those to take America to the place that America could not stand on its feet anymore. So what we're really looking at, these are allowed specifically to create the effect of the termite to take down the structure and from within and sabotage our very own values and freedom that we believe in. You know, and I can't believe that we just celebrated the 240 years of freedom and liberty in the United States of America on the 4th of July. And the Muslims celebrated Ramadan, which is, you know, the opposite. You know, while the Islamic, you know, radical killed, they had over 240 plus missions, you know, terrorist missions, killing thousands of people. What happened? America was celebrating a freedom from killing and a freedom from tyranny. All these are the opposite polar of one another. And they're happening right before our eyes.
You know, I think that's always one of the more interesting aspects when you compare Christianity and Islam, is that Christianity, taken to its ultimate extreme, is about love and freedom and liberty. And
correct.
Islam, when you take it to its extreme, is the exact polar opposite. It is about tyranny.
That's correct. But we get a test up, you know, and many people don't understand the differences, you know, because even pastors today or political leaders, they don't understand differences because they're looking at everything from Islamic perspective instead of looking at it from clarity perspective. So when we celebrate the American independence, what does independence mean? Independence, it holds virtues and freedom, while Islam is only dwell on virtues, and their virtues is loyalty to Allah. Therefore, a man could not be free, so his servitude is to Allah, to serve Allah, even to the point of giving himself as, you know, martyr, while Christianity, as we look at it through our, you know, core American core of Constitution, it is when God gave us freedom is to excel and accelerate as unique human being and bring about hope and future and blessings for all the whole world. So freedom is, Islam is anti-freedom, prosperities. All these things are element of destruction to the Muslims, you know, so they look at those as they must be destroyed, because if Allah is not the head of this, then they are not real.
Wow. Okay, let's go and take a break there. Coming up, we're going to be talking about the Orlando shooting and also the events this week happening in Dallas. Stay with us. And welcome back. We're talking with Kamal Salim. He is a former cultural jihadist and now is the president of Koum Ministries. That's K-O-O-M-E Ministries. Their website, just add .com to that, and we'll link that up on iSpyRadio.com as well. I'd like to talk about the Orlando shootings and what happened in Dallas as well. But before we get to that, though, we were talking again during the break, and you talked about some specific passages in the Quran that talk about fighting the infidel and really giving permission to fight. And that is so different than what we often hear in the mainstream media, that Islam is a religion of peace. But again, having talked with you in the past, I know that that is simply not true.
Well, we got to understand why people are confused about the peace and war in Islam. While Muhammad, the prophet of Islam, was in Mecca, he was peaceful. And the ayahs, which is the surah, the books of the Quran that was given to him, all of them were peaceful. They had no war. They have nothing whatsoever. But when he migrated, and he, you know, in Arabic, they call it Hajar, and that is migration. When he migrated, and now this migration movement is based on this, what happened? He went from peaceful to radical. And this is the doctrine in Islam. It's called the duality of Islam, which is al-nasikh wal-mansukh, which is mean the abrogation. Allah, the God of Islam, changed his mind and told Muhammad, everything I have given you, tell your people, everything I have given you, I have changed my mind. I'm giving you something to replace that. And so everything I'm giving you now will abrogate everything that I've given you before. So everything that is peaceful is no longer in existence. Now I'm giving you the radical part. And the last two books that came to Muhammad is Surah number 9 and Surah number 7, which is holy war, jihad, against all non-believers to establish what's so called Ummah, which is one world order under Allah, under Caliph, and under Sharia law. And so therefore, when you look at the Quran itself, the Quran says, let the believers, the Muslims, not take infidels as their friends, you know, and or allies. Instead, take a believer, a Muslim. Whoever does this shall have no relationship left with Allah. So Allah will cut off his blessing over you, and he will send you to hell. Unless you guard yourselves against them, which is, you know, take a stand against the unbelievers, taking safeguard in jihad, which is stand up in holy war. And jihad is not only a holy war, but it has a multitude of jihad, and it differs from one perspective to another. And, you know, and the culture jihad movement, the birth jihad, al-hujra, which is, you know, muhajirin, which is the those that are moving from the nations to different European countries as, you know, refugees. This is part of jihad. And when we look at this, we see the Quran says that permission is given to you to fight against those whom at war is made against, you know, by Allah and by you as Muslim, because they have been wronged. They have wronged God, they have wrong philosophy, they have the wrong, you know, alliances, they're friend of one another. And Allah has the power to help you against them. So they are those who are driven out from their home unjustly, just like what happened in Syria, what happened in Iraq, what's happening all over the Middle East. They blame all this on the United States of America and Israel. Mm. So he said, because of this, now you have the full permission to go with them at war. And that is Surah 22:39-40.
You know, what we so often hear is that verses like that are somehow outdated, or that only radical Islamists take those to actual heart, whereas the so-called moderate and peaceful Muslims totally disregard those verses. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, as a former Muslim, I knew and I understood that my loyalty and allegiance is to Allah, the God of Islam, and the second one is to Muhammad, what Muhammad said in his traditions, which is we call it the Hadith. And our life is to be lived according to what's so-called Sirah. What is Sirah? Sirah is the biography of Muhammad, how Muhammad lived his life. So if Muhammad did it, the Prophet of Islam, then it is our way of life, because we should not live our life differently, and because he commanded us to live that life. So therefore, any way you look at it, when a Muslim look at something was given to them from one man and it was not written until 60 years later, and then it's prescribed to them, 3/4 of Islamic religion is based on jihad and how to fight your enemy and how to subjugate your enemy. When you look at all the religion as Sharia law and how it subjugate a culture, we know that this is the truth, because you will know them by their fruit, not by what they're saying, because what they're saying is al-taqiyya, which is a lie. Hmm. Al-taqiyya is permitted, is prescribed to the Muslim, is to lie to their enemy. In the hadith by Muhammad, the Prophet of Islam says, which is his tradition, he said, when you are weak, smile in the face of your enemy, but curse them in your heart. And he said in another one, he said, befriend them until they become your slave. And so therefore, there is a strategy of war. And he said, al-taqiyya, which is lying for the sake of Allah, you know, which is its strategy of war, he said it will stay in existence until the last days of judgment. You know, so therefore, they are commanded to do this. So when we come to understand when a Muslim says, well, I'm peaceful, there are a lot of good peaceful Muslims out there, and no doubt. But we have to distinguish between those that are peaceful and those who are lying. And how do we measure that? Is if that person is peaceful and wants Sharia law and wants Islamic freedom, in the United States of America, we know that person is radical. Mm. Because if you want to live in the United States of America, we have a constitution, we have way of life, and we have been successful all those years. And if you want to succeed, come and join us. But to change our way of life, the 7th century belief, and make us all follow that, that is a strategy of war.
Yeah. Okay, let's go ahead and take a break there. Everyone stay with us. We'll have last one with Kamal Saleem after this. And welcome back to the iSpy Radio Show. We're talking about the growing threat of Islamic terrorism here in the U.S., and to do that, we're talking with Kamal Saleem. He is a former Muslim and a former cultural jihadist as well, who is now the president of Koome Ministries. That's K-O-O-M-E, ministries.com, if you'd like to go visit them. And, you know, going into the break there, we're talking about al-taqiyya, and this is the permission to lie. And I think that's one of the things that makes this so confusing, is how do you know who is truly peaceful, with genuinely peaceful intentions, versus somebody who is saying they're peaceful, but they're really lying? I mean, how can the non-Muslim be able to make those distinctions?
Well, you know, like I said, number one, is you got to understand, if that Muslim is asking for Sharia law, I want to practice my own law, you know, number, that's the first approach, and that is political Islam. Basically, it is war through politics and through strategy, and that is the stealth methodology, which is to approach the culture and put burden on the nation by intimidating, I'm peaceful, but I want Sharia law. And Sharia law is the constitution of Islam. It constitutes to them everything that they are, that Allah commanded them to do. But then there is a methodology in this, and the methodology is how they can penetrate the culture. And it's called Al-Muruna. Al-Muruna is a doctrine in Islam. It is the Islamic hustle to pretend one way versus the other until they gain the upper hand. But when you look at this, we need to understand many of them. If you are peaceful and you are truly who you said you are, why are you not standing against those Muslims that they are killing Christian people, killing Jewish people, killing Hindus, Sikh, they're killing every person out there? Why are you not talking and standing against this or protesting? We need to hear this out, you know. But if they're asking for more power for Islam in America, know that you are standing before a present darkness. And some of them, they do it in stealth methodology, which is political jihad. They're very smooth. They're, you know, as they refer to them in American culture, slick willies. And then the other one are here to bring about jihad of the womb. We see the refugees nowadays that they come to the United States of America. These men are married to four women. And now they are forcing our culture to change and adapt to their way. So, and now we have to support them under our, you know, culture, you know, with food stamps, free education, free homing, free everything, and then marriage jihad. It is when they marry into our culture, which is to obtain the power into our culture and the citizenship, to take our American Constitution, just like Jama'at al-Furqa, you know, in America, and by the Second Amendment, they can open those camps and exercise terrorist, you know, act in the United States of America. These is the same thing, marrying into our culture for that purpose. Then you have the banking system and the judicial system that are infiltrating our court. Our courts today, they have over 84 cases today that they've been adjudicated by, you know, Sharia law, and they are done on purpose by Islamists so they can change our culture. And then there's religious jihad to invade our culture, to infiltrate our synagogues and our, you know, churches, to bring about what's so-called Chrislam. Chrislam is the church, you know, will celebrate Sunday, you know, Christianity, and Friday they celebrate Islam. And the pastor does not know that when the Muslim pray in his church, this is a holy and sacred ground and now must be possessed. And the only possession that they have to take is by killing the head of the household to have everything that he has. So therefore, it is there. It's a call for them to see first, infiltrate, and take over. And then last but not least is al-taqiyya, which is to lie. And Muhammad, the Prophet of Islam, in his tradition said, al-harbu khuda, war is deception.
Yeah, very much like Sun Tzu as well. We do want to talk to you about the Orlando shootings and whatnot. And so here we had this attack on this gay nightclub. And now just on Thursday night, we had the attack in Dallas. In terms of the Orlando shooting, what did you make of President Obama's response to that? I mean, it seems so weak. And what kind of message does that send to cultural jihadists and even the more radical jihadists here in America when you see that kind of weak response?
Well, we have to hear what he said before what he said last night. Before all this has taken place, he condemned the police, and he came against what they're doing, and he spoke specifically against prejudice against black people, and what so have you. So as a president, his message out there, it was dividing. It's almost like telling some people with a radical intent, it's okay to do this right now because you are subjugated to unfair culture of white policemen, and these people are making you suffer and because your skin color, and so now you can do anything you want to do. But then to answer your question, what he said last, when he said today what he said, it is we have to investigate because we don't know what the issue is. This is, if he's a truly peaceful president, he would have talked about we should come and unite. This is a time to be a one nation under God. This, this, that, and the other. But his way about going into this, it is he sent messages to specific people to really act the way they act so he can get to speak into against the Second Amendment and delay the issues on what's happening today with Comey and Hillary Clinton and even the election. You know, it's all these confusing messages you raise a greater, fear that the people don't think about the truth that is taking place in our nation.
Yeah, okay. All right, let's take a break there. I want to come back to these messages that Obama is sending to jihadists here in America. Stay with us. And welcome back. We're talking about the Islamic terrorism threat here in the United States, both culturally and also the more radical one that most people are familiar with. And to do that, we're talking with Kamal Saleem. He is a former Muslim and a former cultural jihadist. He's now the president of Qum Ministries. Their mission is to reach out to Muslims and to show them the liberating power of Jesus Christ. Their mission is, as they say, to see Ishmael redeemed. I just love that. Going into the break, we were talking about these messages that Obama is sending to basically keep doing what they're doing. Do you think that these are purposeful messages, or is it just sort of a blundering, inadvertent type of message that he's sending?
Well, he's the head of the United States of America, and when he is speaking, he is steering the nation, you know, as his job is to, in the perspective, you know, so his action is will have a reaction, you know, and so whatever he says, he's hoping the people will follow, you know. So anytime when you condone or you condemn, there is a result of those actions, you know. And so when you send a message and you start talking about racism, about the American police, and there are some American police are bad, but you know, not all police are bad. Now what happened, we have five innocent soldiers, police being killed. One of them just got married, and they have family, they have children, they have life. They were protected, protecting the innocents. So the message itself empowers, you know, people to do what they have to do. Now is justified by what he said.
Right. Well, and certainly the message that came out of him, he did not condemn radical Islam in the strongest possible terms. I think that in itself shows that is going to just welcome these types of attacks to continue. In terms of Orlando, you were talking about how the month of Ramadan fit into all of this. So how did that in particular fit with Mateem there?
Well, we have to recognize that month of Ramadan plays, it is one of the holiest of holies of time in Islam. For example, the National Day of Prayer used to be celebrated in the White House.
Yes.
Today is no longer celebrated in the White House. What is celebrated is the month of Ramadan.
Yes, and there's one of those messages again. Just the fact that you're not even acknowledging the National Day of Prayer, that in itself is a message.
Correct. And when you look at the month of Ramadan and the philosophy behind the month of Ramadan, Ramadan is when Muhammad had his encounter with the spirit of light, and he didn't know what it was until way later. And this is when he had received his first ayah, which is he received, you know, from Allah the first Quran, the first surah from in the Quran. And this is also one that's prior to Islam, by the way. You know, all of it, it was pre-existed before Islam came. So these were Jahiliyyah, you know, acts and doing, you know. So therefore, Muhammad was active in them when he received his revelations. And so therefore, what happened is, this is when Ramadan, in that time when Islam went from peaceful to radical. You know, this is where, you know, the doctrine of abrogation took place, which is an-nasakh wal-mansukh, which is Allah replaced, you know, the radical over the peaceful, and the peaceful doesn't apply unless you are weak. You use the peaceful side of the Quran, but when you are in strength, you use the strong part of the Quran. So all this, and when we look at it all together, what happened, this is when a Muslim believes he is or she is at their holiest time during this month. Because during that time, the Muslim must abstain from all their sin and wickedness, iniquities, and everything that is unholy and unwholesome. So therefore, they could not lie, they could not cheat, they could not do this, could not do that. So this is a time for sanctification. So if a Muslim die in that month, he is considered, or she is considered, as holy because they're free. And when you look at all this, what happened, we look at Umar Mateen. Umar Mateen, a man, was had issues, and his issues with, you know, in a Muslim world, they look down, you know, on the homosexual to the point of death. In Islam, homosexuality is condemned by death. You know, in Iran, they hang them, you know, publicly. In Saudi Arabia, they chop their head off. In the ISIS, throw them off the cliff, off the mountain, or high buildings. In different culture, they stone them to death. And so this man, we look at his father. His father was known to the President of the United States of America, Barack Hussein Obama, and he was known also to Hillary Clinton, and he was known also to Democrat movement, you know, liberal movement. And now his son is acting, is in a bad, you know, bad thing, which is he's homosexual, and while he's married. So therefore what happened is now Umar Mateen is free because he abstained himself from all this iniquities and sin, and he's fasting, and now he is in a good place. So what happened first, he went to cleanse his sin and retaliate against, you know, homosexual, what, you know, his iniquities in.
And so basically, if I'm hearing you correctly, it sounds like that whole attack was a means to redeem himself.
Not just redeem himself, but also by killing infidel. First, redeeming himself, killing homosexual. Second, is killing infidel, which is the Quran can, you know, and Hadith, you know, both of them ask for this and ask people to go into jihad, and that's why he pledged his loyalty to Umar al-Baghdadi, you know, and which is the head of ISIS. And he was laughing at the point, so, you know, hilariously, and knowing that he's going to be killed, and he's going to be a martyr, and he's going to fulfill Islam, and he's going to make the whole world of Islam proud of what he did.
Wow.
That
is just chilling. Okay, we are up against a break again. Coming back, we're going to be talking more about the Orlando shooting and wrapping things up with Dallas as well. Stay with us. And welcome back. We're into our final segment now with Kamal, although it's not really our final segment because we're going to be having him back next week, which is good because we've barely scratched the surface here. Just real quick here, because we're kind of short on time. In terms of the Orlando shooting, one of the things that was out there was this notion of homegrown terrorists and also the second generation. If you had not been converted to Christianity, how would you have raised your children who would have been born as Americans?
Well, if I was living in the United States of America, and my heart desire is really not really to bring my children in America, but for the sake of the call, I will have to teach my children to live two different ways. Number one, because of my radical belief, is number one is to tell the culture one thing, that inside their life is to live their life by the Islamic codes and by the Islamic virtues, and by, you know, working into the agenda to subjugate the culture into the Islamic culture consistent with the hegemony of jihadis, to the point, you know, which is still jihad, that is, to bring about Islamization to the United States of America by establishing Islamic State in the United States of America.
Wow. So in terms of the Dallas shooting, we're still early in the process. There's been no claims as of this morning, and we're talking to you Friday morning here. There's still been no claims of terrorism or links to Islam, but is this the kind of hatred being inspired by radical Islam? In other words, do you see the hand of cultural jihadists in this sort of incident? Is this something that maybe they were training for in a lot of those camps? What are your thoughts on this?
There is a heavy, heavy hate. When we look at all this that has taken place, we need to see what happened historically from Nidal Hassan, you know, shouting Allahu Akbar, killing 13 people, ultimately 14, one pregnant woman. When we look at the Stroman brothers in Boston killing people, they have no idea who they are, but, you know, on the street watching and participating in a race in American holiday, during American holiday. When we look at Nolan in Oklahoma City, who was shouting Allahu Akbar as he stabbed the first woman several times and took her head off, and he was trying to behead the second woman when he got taken down. When we see the sniper who was going around the United States of America and shooting, sniping, and he was, you know, he was ultimately Muslim, and nobody talked about, you know, he was killing people. When we see all these are taking place, there's an element over there of separation, and Islam is one of its strategies is to intimidate their enemy. Mm. Intimidation is very important to them, because you could not, you know, if the culture is in fear, then they can control it. If the culture is in control, then they drive the fear out. So, and that is peace. Today our, you know, government sending a message of fear.
We've only got about a minute here with you. So this event in Dallas, is this something that you as a cultural jihadist, is that something that you might have hoped to create?
Well, here's the thing. The recruitment is taking place in the mosques. It's taking place in those camps that we talked about, you know, Jamaat al-Furqa. We have, in the United States of America, we have over 107 Islamist organization up front declared as a terrorist organization by UK, by UAE, United Arab Emirates, by Egypt, by Saudi Arabia, and that is the Muslim Brotherhood. And all their job is to take, you know, a moderate Muslim and radicalize them, to radicalize the culture. You know, my methodology, I never participated in a war against America, or, you know, killing Western people, or doing any of this. Mine is to bring political Islam. But
in terms of trying to inspire the kind of hatred that we saw on display on that, is that something that you would have hoped to have fermented?
That's my point. You know, the weak, some of the Muslims that they are really weak, and now they are so angry, you can use those as a puppet, you know, and they are, you know, the Muslim Brotherhood is successful in those, and they send them out to do what we saw happen in Dallas last night.
Wow. Kamal, I want to thank you so much for your time, and I really look forward to our discussion next week to continue this.
Well, thank you for having me, and God bless you for all that you do.
All right, thank you. Before we go, a quick announcement that the annual Rally Around the Flag event is fast approaching, coming up on Saturday, July 30th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. There'll be booths, speakers, and networking, including an Oregon Land Issues panel in the afternoon, moderated by yours truly. Check iSpyRadio.com events page for more details while you're there. Be sure to see today's show page for other links and articles, including one article especially from 2012. The FBI knew then that militant black groups had been infiltrated by radical Islamists, including the Muslim Brotherhood. Do be sure to tune in next week as we continue our discussion with Kamal to talk about how moderate Muslims are radicalized and what community leaders and individuals can do about it. We'll see you then, and as we say every week, the best information does you no good if you don't use it or share it. Reagan, what do you think?
I do not believe in a fate that will fall on us no matter what we do. I do believe in a fate that will fall on us if we do nothing.
It's more than a show. It's self-defense. The I Spy Radio Show.